Tenzin Kelsang was one of the lucky ones. She's Tibetan, and in the 1990s, she became one of the 1,000 displaced Tibetans living in exile in India and Nepal to come to the United States. But navigating life alone without her family in a new country had its share of challenges. She was working as a cleaner in an office in Madison, Wisconsin, when she struck up a friendship with a woman who would go on to be one of her family. Educator and writer Madeline Uranek was that woman. She captured their long friendship in a new book called How to Make a Life, a Tibetan refugee family and a Midwestern woman they adopted. Madeline and Tenzin are on a mission to share their story. Next week, they're going to be in Asheville and Raleigh for public appearances. Madeline Uranek, welcome to The State of Things.
Thanks, Frank. It's exciting to be talking to North Carolina.
With Tenzin Kelsang, welcome to you.
Thank you very much.
Madeline, let me start with you and talk about how you and Tenzin first met.
Yes, I had a job that for the state of Wisconsin that at the time was international, so I did a fair amount of traveling. But one day I came into my cubicle, and there was a woman with a long, beautiful braid dusting my shelves. And like I do, there are a lot of cleaners in that building, and I worked often overtime. And I would ask them where they were from, because they were from a lot of different places, speaking a lot of different languages. As you know, coming to a new country for the first time, you get whatever job you can. And she said her name was Tenzin, and then I was shocked when she said that she was from Tibet, because I had never met anyone from Tibet.
Tenzin, tell us your story. How is it that you came? Where were you before you came to the United States, and how did you come to the U.S.?
I first came in India to United States, and then I had two jobs. I got a full-time, I had a part-time, then part-time is state job, and then I met Madeline, and she taught me a lot and questioned. Then that time I speak very little, and she helped me a lot. Thank you.
What kind of questions did you have for Madeline? What did you need to know?
Yeah, she asked me where you from and where is your family, and she's saying like that. Then I said my original from Tibet, and my family live in India. And then she helped me a lot. And do you have a sponsor in here? I said no, I came from Virginia, Charlottesville, and then she helped me a lot.
Your family was still in India because at the time there was a lottery, the U.S. policy.
Yeah.
You weren't even officially refugees because the U.S. was worried about our relationship with China, and so it had a kind of a special status. But you were in a lottery. 1,000 people were chosen, and that meant you had to leave without your family. That had to be, or was it, a very difficult decision for you to make?
Yes. I like to go to United States, and my mother and my husband said, don't go, and we are living okay in India. I said, no. I want to go to my children for future education.
All right. So, Madeline, what did you make of this? I mean, you're meeting with someone who killed a little bit of curiosity, didn't know much about Tibet, didn't know anybody from Tibet, but Tenzin's got some pretty serious questions about getting adjusted here. That can be a lot of responsibility. How did you receive all of that at first?
It happened really gradually over time. I didn't really pay her too much mind. She would come around cleaning. I would see her occasionally, ask me questions about mortgages or renting a house. She talked about a family that she had that just kind of broke my heart, because why is she here cleaning my office when she has little kids in India? So it was maybe 5 years before, 4 or 5 years before she was eligible to bring her family over on family reunification visa. I did help with the visa at that point, but yeah, just started like so many of our friendships do, just a little bit. She was a remarkable person, I could tell that. And I was fascinated that as a woman we were so different. I'd had so many advantages, so-called, and yet here she was in my office.
Tenzin, what were some of the big challenges for you when you first got here?
Challenges is like it's lots of different language and all kind of cultures and spicy food, and I don't know how to catch the bus and which the bus bus has a number. It's lots of difficult time that time because I'm the pretty new and not that cry a lot. Cry every night. Cry.
Madeline, this can be, you know, people's heart, as you say, your heart goes out. I mean, clearly you'd want to be in a position to help. But I think one of the barriers for people in your position, Madeline, is that once you realize how many problems and how difficult it is, filling out applications for mortgages, getting bus schedules, figuring out how to get all these things, people are daunted and say, well, look, I can't sign up for that. I'd love to help you, but it's overwhelming for me, too. Did you have that sense going in, or how did you commit yourself to working this closely?
I didn't really pay too much attention to it until her kids came. And then when I saw these four kids get off the bus in Madison, I was totally engaged. You know, I don't have kids. All of a sudden I had, you know, four middle school kids, and I could interfere with their lives because Tenzin's husband, Mi'kmaq Dorji, and she had three jobs. They had a morning job, they had a night job, they had a weekend job. So when I would just barge in the door and after school, the kids would run to make me tea, and then I would say things. I made a lot of mistakes. I would say, like, turn off the TV, we're going to the library, we're going to the park. You know, I was very bossy, as if I knew how, a person without children, as if I knew how to raise children. So then the family started giving back to me. You know, so often you think you're going to help someone, but it turns out the other way. And just all of a sudden, you know, coming into their home and their amazing cultures and food and spirituality, they began sharing with me. And I never felt like it was heavy. Like the more anything they asked me was more just rewarded with just amazing things that they introduced me to, including, you know, eventually I was traveling with them to the refugee communities that they had left.
Well, tell us more about the gifts that you received in all of this, Madeline.
Well, one of the first ones, while I thought I was learning about Tibet, was they actually connected me to my own grandparents, who by then were deceased. They had come in the 1920s from Poland, and then I suddenly got it, like my own grandparents had to give up a language, what you do when you give up a language, how much of your personality and your humor and your prestige and your networks, and how hard they had to work. You know, I felt like these people that Americans, a lot of middle-class Americans, don't realize how hard people are working just to make that jump to their children's generation who will then have so much more. And I think they also introduced me to Madison. Madison started getting to be much more multi-layered, the kind, diverse, liberal Madison. And then I was able to see kind of a meaner side, you know, where people weren't really eager to have people of color come in large numbers to their events, you know, unless they had, you know, maybe costumes or were in smaller number, you know, have a specific role. So you know, who knew that the woman who came to clean my office would, you know, be able to introduce me to the Dalai Lama, to amazing monasteries, to a whole different way of looking at the world.
Including some important cultural events. Tenzin, you brought Madeline to Nepal for your daughter's wedding. What was that experience like?
Yeah, it was fun, and she take care a lot of my wedding costs. She take care of all, half everything she take care. I always thank you to Madeline, and always I just thank you.
And it was bringing somebody like that. I mean, this is certainly a cultural experience. Did you have to explain to a lot of people, to your family at your daughter's wedding, who this woman was and why this American is at your wedding?
Yeah, it's weddings, the Tibetan cultures, and then we went to Chambaling, and then they have a three days wedding party, and then after the wedding party, we went to the pilgrimage holy place, and she take care of everything. And then one thing is like we went to the holy place, and the Nepal people working, and then they carry a heavy rock in a mountain and way back to the top mountain. And she liked to buy he's the really hard work, and she want to buy the beer. And then the guy, he told me 30 people, and she has to pay all beer for 30 people. She spend a lot of money.
We've had a lot of adventures.
That is drinks on the house at the top of the world. Well, yeah. That's something. Well, how was that? Was it like for you, Madeline, that experience?
These are amazing experiences. The thing that amazed me and the reason I wrote the book was that this didn't happen in a foreign country. This happened in my own hometown with people who are practically my neighbors. And I just realized that every American lives somewhere where there are people that they make assumptions of that, you know, they would be too scary to talk to or their religion would be too strange. But you kind of say this hello and immediately, your assumptions start falling away. They do answer you in English. And so a lot of the adventures that I've had have been right here. We have a beautiful Tibetan Buddhist temple right here in Madison that, you know, most people have never been into. And the Losar, the New Year's celebrations are right here. So you don't really have to go very far from home to see this whole other rich America, which I think, you know, the refugees and immigrants coming in, you know, we can't forget how amazing they make this country.
Yeah, I was struck by what you said earlier, that Tenzin introduced you to your hometown of Madison, which is interesting, and I think what you just said here. But you also write in your book that while you feel now a part of Tenzin's family, it wasn't as easy to incorporate her and her family into yours. Is that right, Madeline?
Yeah, it was kind of a two-way street. While we on a small basis can do it, I kept expecting all my friends and family to just be as enthusiastic as I was. So, I don't know quite how to answer that. Ask me another question.
No, well, I'm going to ask Tenzin a question about your dreams now, Tenzin, your dreams for your family and you here in the United States. What are you hoping to achieve here?
My dream is always I thank you, American government and former President George Bush invite 1,000 immigrant in here, and I always thank you very much, and God bless American.
Well, maybe we will return to an America that was like that when you were invited into this country. Who knows? We could someday make America great again by inviting people like you into our country. We'll have to wait and see. Madeline, I've given you about 30 seconds for your big takeaway and some of the big lessons that you've learned in all of this.
Yeah, I think that the gifts that we receive so often are unanticipated. We think we're doing a favor to someone else, but the powerful connections and the compassion and just the mosaic of America that is absolutely right there in all of our communities for us to celebrate and take part of, even though it might be a little fearful to plunge into a couple people who are speaking a different language. The gifts are there.
Madeline Uranek is a writer and an educator. Her new book is called How to Make a Life, a Tibetan Refugee Family and the Midwestern Woman They Adopted. Tenzin Kelsang is a Tibetan American and is featured prominently in that book. They're going to be speaking in Asheville Monday and Tuesday of next week, a special guest at an event in Raleigh also next week, and we've got the all of the information at our website, stateofthings.org. Thank you both for being on our program. Just ahead, a new documentary that highlights the positive impact of jobs for people with developmental disabilities. Stay tuned.